T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is!
The 8 o'clock hour of the Alex Dono Show here on WQAM. Streaming all over the internet, radio.com or the radio.com app. However you listen, we appreciate your patronage here tonight. So I just saw this on the Chris Whittingham burner account. Just like I love Chris, and I support what they're doing with the Five Reason Sports Network. But I hate having to go to two different Twitter handles to follow one person. Right? Just give it all to me on one handle. But on the Chris Whittingham soccer Twitter, which I love. Like, I love Chris's football takes and his soccer takes. I've got to get him from two different accounts. He tweets out, this is pretty good, at Pitch Invasion 5R, seen plenty of talk of traffic impact on Miami MLS at Melrose. Just did some research based on the 2018 MLS schedule. I think this is worth pointing out because these types of facts are crucial, I think, because those who are pro-soccer stadium at Melrose may ignore some of the potential challenges here as far as who is going to pay the millions of dollars for the contaminated soil disposal. If there are any cost overruns, are we going to get Jorge Mas's commitment to pay for all of that? Are we getting the best possible deal if we're leasing public land to a private entity? Those are all fair questions to ask. Maybe some of those are ignored by people like me who are blindly pro get me a soccer stadium by any means necessary. But to those who are anti, get me the soccer stadium at Melrose, for those who all of a sudden have become so passionate about this first tee program that you probably never heard of before 2 weeks ago, and no disrespect to the kids out there, honestly, like, I mean, no disrespect to the children out there who are able to get free golf lessons courtesy of this first tee program. That's an incredible thing. But if you can get the guarantee from the commissioners and from Jorge Mas that the first tee program will continue at another golf course, several of which are within very close distance to Melrose, a mile and a half away in the case of Miami Springs. You got to understand there are golf courses all over the place. If the first tee program continues, isn't that a win-win? If you don't have to go very far to get to that. So they bring up the first tee program, and I've heard a lot of people, because this does on the surface sound like a pretty fair concern, bring up traffic. Okay, traffic. You want to build me a soccer stadium that's a couple miles away from the airport. 836, Palmetto Expressway, near the 836. A lot of traffic, right? Tremendous traffic of people coming in and out of one of the busiest airports in the entire world, Miami International. This is a fair counter argument to that. Courtesy of Whittingham, I've seen plenty of traffic impact, of talk of traffic impact on MLS Miami at Melrose. I just did some research based on the 2018 MLS schedule. 322 of 391 MLS games, home games, are on Saturday or Sunday. That's 82%. In case you haven't noticed, traffic is much less of a problem on Saturday and Sunday than it is Monday through Friday. 250 of those being on Saturday. Factoring out Canada, where it's national TV window, 10 on Friday, 53 of 391 Monday through Thursday. So only 53 of 391 home games for MLS on Monday through Thursday. Not to mention you're talking about a 25,000-seat facility. You're not talking about Hard Rock Stadium. You're not talking about Canes and Dolphins games where there's, in some cases, 65,000 people going to those games. So maybe the traffic impact is a little bit overstated. You know, I did see the update today, Tito, and you mentioned this in your sports update, that Jorge Mas has admitted that they do have a deadline to start construction for that stadium, October of 2019,
which
right?
You alluded to. Last week.
That was my hunch last week because, okay, so what happened over the last couple of weeks? Jorge Mas is really trying to rush this deal to a public vote so that they can circumvent the bidding process and start building this stadium as soon as possible, right? A lot of you, when you see that, you say, well, clearly, if Jorge Mas is trying to rush this to a vote, he's trying to sneak something by us, right? There's going to be some way that he screws over the city, screws over the taxpayer, and he's trying to hide this from us because the quicker he gets this on the ballot, the less time we have to pick it apart. That was the assumption from a lot of you out there. My assumption from the beginning was they're trying desperately to get that stadium constructed by 2021. I was sure, folks, I was sure for the last couple of weeks when this news came out, they want to get this on the ballot for November. I was positive that they are facing external pressure from the MLS to get this stadium built by 2021. They want to debut the team in 2020, understanding they won't have a home stadium that year. They're going to have to probably be nomads and roam around various stadiums in the area. But then in 2021, they plan to have their permanent home. And I'm sure that they have been facing pressure from the MLS to get that done by 2021. And Jorge Mas admitted that. They have a hard deadline. In order to get the stadium ready by 2021, they need to start construction by October of 2019. And we don't know if that can happen if they don't get this vote approved, because if they have to go through the regular bidding process for that land, it could take months, but it could take years. Local politics move like a snail pace in this city especially. So whatever they can do to circumvent that, some of you assume they're trying to circumvent the process because they want to screw us over. I assume they're trying to circumvent the process because they need to rush this as quickly as possible. Call me a fool if you want to. But my read on Jorge Mas is his public image in this city is very important. Unlike a Jeffrey Loria. Jeffrey Loria could not care less what I think about him, what you think about him. He does not care about being despised by this community. Jeffrey Loria, for how long was he Marlins owner? 15 years, something in that range? 13, 15 years? For that entire time, he did not lose a second of sleep over you or I talking badly and despising the guy. Did not lose a second of sleep over that. Whereas Jorge Mas, yeah, he's a businessman. Yeah, he's a businessman. He's trying to make as much money as possible. But I think it's very important for him to be beloved by Miamians. And I think it's very important for him not to have his public image destroyed in this community the way that Jeffrey Loria's was. So the idea of him just sneaking in, you know, terrible deal for the community to screw us over if we find out about it a year or two down the road and it's too late, everyone hates him. I don't believe Jorge Mas would be cool with that kind of a scenario. I don't. Call me a fool, call me a Kool-Aid drinker. But I think that rushing this to a vote has a lot more to do with meeting a deadline from the MLS to build the stadium than it does trying to sneak something behind our backs and screw us all over. And Tito, is there a suspicion that if they don't meet that October 2019 deadline, that we might lose our team, that it falls apart?
Mas said that he would have to default his agreement with the MLS at that point, and we'd probably lose the team.
Jeez. Are we going to find out, like, what the name of the team would have been? How great would that be? How great would that be? So tomorrow, if the commissioners vote it down, and then Jorge Mas comes out and says, you know what, guys, it was fun, but we're not going to have a team. But here's what the team would have been called, right? You would have been able to watch Atletico Miami games, but now you won't. I would still like to know what the name of the team is, even if there's no team.
Well, he also alluded that there was a player on the Croatian national team who was very interested.
Right.
So it would be even funnier if he announced that, oh, by the way, Luka Modric was interested in joining us.
Yeah.
Like, by the way, but Miami taxpayers.
At that point, you could say whatever you wanted to. Like, guys, here would be our starting lineup, right? Luke, we were going to have Eden Hazard in the midfield with Luka Modric.
Had commitments from Ronaldo. He was in.
Right. Cristiano Juventus was going to sell him in 2 years. No problem. Lionel Messi was going to come here, by the way, just in case you were wondering. We were going to have De Gea as our goalkeeper. Just bring him on down. With Allison's going to be our backup, by the way. You know, the Brazilian national keeper who's probably going to be either sold to Liverpool or Chelsea. 2 years he's coming here, no problem.
Ronaldinho was coming out of retirement to be on our squad as well.
Pele was going to manage the team. I don't know if you knew that. He was going to be our coach. That would be so great if he just trolls us with, here is our perspectives. Pogba was coming here. Mbappe was going to come and play wing for this team. This is going to be fantastic. This is our projected starting lineup for 2020, and now you get none of it because we don't have a team. I would love to come up with that projected starting lineup. We should make like the world all-star team.
I mean, we're getting Ronaldo, Dono. As soon as he's done a Juve, he's coming here.
And also, you mentioned Luka Modric. That has to be who he was talking about. Because you think about it, a well-known Croatian national player, he says, really wants to come to Miami. I'm pretty sure Modric has a relationship with David Beckham. Not to mention the fact that he's the perfect age, 32 years old right now. He's going to be 34 when the team gets here. That's when the career starts winding down. You know, any time 33, 34, 35, that's when the career starts winding down. That's when you get into the MLS zone, right? Once you hit your mid-30s, that's when you think about coming to America. And Modric is a big enough name to satisfy what Moss was teasing. I think that's got to be the guy he was talking about.
That would be a heck of a move.
Would be awesome. What if, like, it ends up being, like, a consolation prize, like, Mario Mandzukic?
I would love that. I would eat that up all day.
He is awesome.
Super Mario. We would have two legendary Marios in the history of Miami sports.
Oh, Chalmers and Mandzukic. Wow.
They could open their own restaurant, and he could sell German food.
Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, there you go.
What do you mean German food? Croatian food.
Oh, right, Croatian food. Never mind.
Still haven't figured out what that is, by the way. I spent a week trying to figure out what Croatian food is. I got nothing. It sounds like bootleg Italian food, right? Like everything that they serve in Croatia. Oh, they love spaghetti. They love pizza over there in Croatia. It sounds like they have just ripped off Italian cuisine and called it their own. It's pathetic. Let's talk to AJ. You're on QAM. What's up, AJ?
Hey, are you guys done with this soccer stuff?
Man. Oh, my bad. You're one of those guys. You're offended by the soccer talk. I'm sorry, AJ.
Actually, I do like soccer, but we have a football season coming on here.
Anyway, fair enough, sir. Fair enough. So you're not riveted by the transfer window in soccer?
Well, I love soccer. I actually watch the World Cup. Great.
What's on your mind tonight, man?
Well, I just tuned in and I heard you say something about negative about the Dolphins. What happened?
Well, I mean, what happened is every national outlet is dogging the Dolphins, right? Bill Barnwell from ESPN had the list of the 32 top 32 arsenals, offensive arsenals in the NFL. Dolphins 31 out of 32. The odds makers say that Adam Gase is the He has the second best odds to be the first head coach fired this year. Stuff like that. There's a lot of negativity about the team.
I'm so happy. I thought somebody got hurt or something. Well,
not yet. Give it time, sir.
Every time they say we're going to be awful, that's when we surprise people and get into the playoffs. So I'm not really worried about that at all. But I do have a question for you, Dono. I didn't get to speak to you after the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I think this, You win games based on the decisions you make in the offseason. Last year, we didn't get Colin Kaepernick because we were too scared to go there. Do you think we're going to regret not getting one of these quarterbacks that the teams in our division went up to get, and we didn't get any of them?
Well, I mean, to be fair, honestly, we're not going to know for about 2 years if we really regret that. I think
what
we
do
might.
You think so far.
Well, here's the thing. I don't expect to regret drafting Minkah Fitzpatrick over Lamar Jackson and whoever else people want in that range. But if you're talking about not trading up for a quarterback, it all depends on what Tannehill does this year, right? If Tannehill either sucks or gets re-injured, then I will be leading that regretting. And not only this year, right? You haven't drafted a quarterback higher than the seventh round in the last 7 years. So this is not just about 1 year of regret, right? If you don't have a legit option to turn to after Tannehill, You not only regret not taking a quarterback last year, you regret not taking a quarterback above higher than Brandon Dowdy in the seventh round in any of the past 7 years. But I don't know for sure if we're going to know until 2-3 years down the road whether you regret not taking one of these guys, because I don't know for sure if any of these guys are truly going to be great.
I have this sinking feeling that one of these quarterbacks, especially the one that went to Buffalo, is going to be the next Brady terrorizing us for the next decade or so.
Yeah, Josh Allen.
I just have that bad, bad feeling about that. I hope I'm wrong. But anyway, as far as the Dolphins, I think we're going to be fine. Our schedule is soft. We could get that 9 or 10 wins and sneak in. I really like when they dog us out and think nothing's going to happen. But thanks.
You got it, man. Craving that Dolphins talk. Craving that Miami Dolphins talk, my friends, as we're 9 days away from training camp. That is exciting in itself, man. 9 days away from training camp. Any of you out there plan on attending practices? I think most of them start around 8:45, 8:30, which is it kind of sucks to have to get up that early, but you'd rather be out there at 8:45 than noon, 1 p.m. I can tell you that from experience.
I've been to the noon ones before, as a fan, obviously.
It's rough, man. I remember when they used to do two-a-days. You'd have like a 3-4 hour break, mid-morning to the early afternoon, then they'd go out there on the field for a second time. The league has really changed, man. Less and less hitting in practice every year, shorter amount of practice time. I think that's why you see so many injuries, right? I think it's counterproductive in a way. So, okay, maybe for the greater good, having less contact and fewer practices, it might cut down on CTE. I don't know how we know that for sure, but I think having shorter practices and having fewer practices, I think that leads to more guys tearing ACLs, suffering various injuries, because you're just not physically ready for the season when it starts. Those first four games are tough when you've had less practice time.
I feel like we've even seen teams try to finagle around that rule, and they've been caught.
Yes.
And
Baltimore Ravens not long ago.
John Harbaugh. Yeah, he got in trouble for that. So it's definitely an interesting dynamic.
It really is, man. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. You can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. I saw something very interesting today from Dolphins Wire. That's USA Today's Dolphins page. They rank the safest Miami Dolphins jerseys to buy, right? Like, don't you just hate it when you invest in a Deion Jordan jersey only to realize, my God, I've just flushed my money down the toilet? Or you invested in a Dante Culpepper jersey, just flush your money down the toilet. They rank the safest Miami Dolphins jerseys to buy. I think this is interesting. We'll get to that and more next year on QAM. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
I always think of the movie Project X when I hear this song. You ever see that movie, Tito?
Yeah, Dono.
And what, that movie came out, what, like 4 or 5 years ago? Even at the time when I watched that movie, I didn't see it in theaters, but I watched it like on HBO or something. Like, I felt like, man, good movie, but I felt like I'm way too old to be watching a movie about high school parties. Like, it was a weird thing, like entertaining movie, but I'm like 27, 28 years old when that movie came out. I felt like I was way too old and over the hill to be watching a movie about high school kids throwing a party.
It was a fantastic movie, though, Donald.
It was pretty good.
It actually got one of the highest ratings from the Miami Herald's movie critic, Renee Rodriguez.
Really? I'm kind of impressed that you know that, that you remember that.
Well, because obviously I know someone who works at the Herald.
Sure.
And they constantly rip Renee Rodriguez, apparently, about that review.
Oh, really?
Because he's given some other great movies, like poor reviews, but for whatever reason, he's infatuated with Project X.
So, like, he wasn't sold on Citizen Kane, The Godfather, Chinatown. But he thought Project X was one of the greatest films ever.
I don't see anything wrong with his assessment.
He despised 2001: A Space Odyssey. By the way, how did you feel about that? You watched that movie recently.
I don't get the hype about that movie, Dono. I don't think it was that amazing. I was like, wow, that was a plot twist of all plot twists at the end. But like, what did I watch for the first hour and a half? I was like, okay, this is pretty uh-huh. interesting. The next hour and a half, what am I watching? And then the ending, what?
Didn't I tell you, though, that, like, once what is the guy's name? Dave? Once he leaves the ship, and then all, like, the kaleidoscope of colors, and then he's in, spoiler alert, from a movie that came out in 1968, but when he's in, like, that bedroom for, like, an hour, the movie takes a very strange turn. Did you do what I suggested, though? Did you go on the internet and read one of those summaries that explains it? Because that helped me a lot.
I actually haven't, and so my cousin, who convinced me to go out and see the movie because of my Interstellar take,
mm-hmm.
which is that I think Interstellar is like one of the best space movies ever made.
I think it's incredible. I agree with you on that.
He thinks I'm wrong on that. He says that if you think Interstellar is great, it takes a huge, huge amount of help from 2001 A Space Odyssey.
It does. It does.
And he says that 2001 A Space Odyssey is better.
I mean, it's more culturally significant, I would say. Because 2001 A Space Odyssey has, I think, inspired so much other science fiction. Because you just think about the HAL 9000 thing alone, right? In 1968, a movie with a storyline about a computer becoming self-aware and turning on their human masters. Like, that was decades before Terminator, decades before The Matrix. Like, that had not been done before. Like, that's one of those things that makes that movie so culturally significant. And the way that they portrayed just the surface of the moon before we even landed on the moon was incredible. So that movie is significant for a lot of reasons that may not translate to guy in his 20s watching the movie in 2018.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably my issue with it, is that I'm too young, and like the timing of the movie also played a massive significance. However, I still think it pales in comparison to Interstellar.
What, did you see the movie Contact? Did you like that?
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty
good
movie.
I thought that was better than 2001 A Space Odyssey.
I don't know. That movie drags a little bit. But it is
there's a lot of time wasting.
But it is a real mind bender. Like when Jodie Foster, you know, she's on the beach, the whole thing.
Right.
And then she comes back like, oh, you know, you didn't go anywhere. You were gone for a second.
Right.
Like, wait.
And I think there is a certain point in that movie where it's like the convenience factor, where like that scientist is like, oh, I just happened to have the exact same replica of this machinery built on the other side of the world, and I just didn't tell anybody about it.
Right, that's a fair point as well. Texter writes in on me thinking I was too old to watch Project X, and I think I was in my late 20s when that came out. Alex, come on, I'm pretty sure you watched Girl Meets World for Topanga. I did watch Boy Meets World for Topanga back in the day. I have never actually watched Girl Meets World, like the modern day remake of that. Don't feel bad, Dono. I watched that in my 30s. I don't remember high school parties like that from Diesel Pete. I kind of do, is the thing. I think that's one of the reasons why I related that movie so much. Like, I can remember some parties, maybe more so college than high school parties, like getting out of hand like that, man. I can kind of remember that. Let's go to the phones at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Who's on line four, Tito? You have no idea. Whoever is on line four, we will get to you in a moment. So here's something, okay, so we'll get to Alex here in a moment, but I want to get into something else real quick. So here's something positive about the Miami Dolphins. Greg Rosenthal of NFL Media made his ranking of top running backs in the National Football League. And Kenyon Drake gets listed number 14, right? You think about it, this is not like one for 32 like starting quarterbacks. There are every team has 2-3 running backs who are a part of a rotation. So for Kenyon Drake to be listed as the 14th best running back in the league, that's pretty significant, man. Rosenthal writes, Drake was never a primary back in college, but he played like one in a fiery 5-game stretch to end last season. The game tape showed a rare combination of suddenness, power, and versatility. He led the league in rushing after week 13, as our buddy Anthony Frask mentioned. And only Alvin Kamara topped Drake in elusive rating last season, according to Pro Football Focus. He practically beat the Patriots by himself. It's a small sample size, but I'm sold, wrote Greg Rosenthal. So that's some love for Kenyon Drake. And again, it goes to show you how ludicrous that Bill Barnwell piece was, where Barnwell gave the Dolphins the 31st best offensive arsenal out of 32 teams, And he wrote in that asinine piece, the Dolphins replaced Jarvis Landry with Frank Gore. Acting like Kenyon Drake doesn't even exist. It's crazy. Let's talk to Alex here on QAM. What's up, Alex?
How does Tito forget that Alex is calling for Alex?
Yeah, seriously. Like I asked Tito, who's on line four? He looks at me just with this blank stare.
We were so caught up in this interstellar conversation. I'm sorry, Alex. Not Alex Dono, the other Alex.
And Alex, how can I trust a guy who didn't like 2001 A Space Odyssey?
I don't know. But if we're talking about a random movie, I mean, I know 2001 A Space Odyssey is not random, but if we're talking about random 80s science fiction movies, you need to watch Space Jocks. That's a movie where you'll just be like, what the bleep did I
don't. I'm not even sure I know what that is. Is there anybody in there I would know?
No, I haven't seen that movie in 15 years. It's just some random, like space war movie that's like B-level, you know, special effects, and you're just kind of like, what the bleep is going on? But it is like a stereotypical, you know, mix of 80s cheese and science fiction. It's great.
Nice. I like that.
And a couple other things. The safest Dolphins jersey to own, a Dan Marino throwback, because
yes,
who knows what the rest of
them. I have one in my closet, although I made the mistake of, you know, this is like 10 years ago, I made the mistake of washing it with warm water. Was never the same after that. My Marino throwback is not in mint condition anymore.
That's not good. Then again, I had like four different ones as a kid that he had signed them all because,
nice.
I played hockey against his son, and I have no idea where any of them are.
Was his son any good at hockey?
He wasn't great, but like you know, it is what it is. There was one other thing, but there was so many different things, and Tito forgetting my name, aka your name.
Right. Well, I appreciate the call. In any case, sir.
It's always good talking to you, Dono.
Yeah, Tito, you threw Alex off of his game by forgetting his name. Tito is sabotaging the show. By the way, Tito, do you prefer soft or hard tacos?
You know, I maintain the position that I enjoy both. However, if I did have a preference, it'd be soft.
I me too, and I'll tell you why. And the reason is it's confounding to people. So up until, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, I basically would exclusively eat hard tacos, right? If you're at a taco shop and they give you the choice, would you like the hard shell or the soft shell? I would always say, no, give me the hard shell taco. Almost exclusively would I eat hard shell tacos. But then I came to the understanding, and Tito, you were just in Mexico a couple of weeks ago. I came to the understanding that hard shell tacos are not really a thing in Mexico. Like that's an American invention, right?
Yeah, there's no, at least where I was at in Tulum, there is no hard shell tacos.
Right, and I was in that area. I was in Playa del Carmen for my honeymoon 7 years ago, and I don't remember seeing any hard shell tacos there. So I made the switch exclusively from hard shell to soft shell tacos just for the reason of I wanted to be more authentic. Is that a crazy thing to say? Because I know that if somebody like Hockman, who criticizes everything I say, if he's listening, he's gonna tell me, Dono, like, just eat what you like. Like, don't worry about it. But and I did enjoy both, but I would prefer hard shell tacos until I was told by someone from Mexico, nobody in Mexico eats hard shell tacos. So then I thought, you know what? I want to be more authentic. So now I always eat soft shell tacos.
Well, to a degree also, to build on this point, we include a lot of things in our burritos and tacos that aren't really traditional.
Right.
Like rice in general is not really in a burrito. It's just...
Yeah.
And even lettuce, to a degree, is not in a burrito. Huh. Like, there is no lettuce in a burrito.
So what would it just be? Like meat and beans, basically? Like, yeah, meat, beans, and cheese?
Beans, pico de gallo, and then guac, if it's in there, or avocado.
It's also, like, part of the reason why I get upset when people prop up that deep dish pizza, which is a cheese pie, because you're not going to find deep dish pizza in Italy. It's not pizza. It's a cheese pie.
I mean, I agree. It still tastes good. However, I do see your point in the sense that it's a fraud.
Another thing that's a fraud, in Italy, unless you're at like the most touristy restaurant and they just cater to Americans, which you're going to find a few places like that in Rome and Florence and Venice, because that's the American loop. Americans, if you don't have a better understanding of that country, you say, oh, I can see the entire country. All I have to do is I fly to Rome, I go to Florence, then I go to Venice. There's nothing else to see there. You're completely ignoring the Italian Riviera, if you don't go to the Cinque Terre, you're missing some great stuff. If you don't see the culture of Milano, if you don't go to the mountains, they have some incredible Alps in Italy. If you don't see some of this stuff, I don't believe you're getting the full effect of the country. But, you know, Americans, they only go, oh, I can see the entire country. I just have to go to Rome and Venice and Florence, and then I've seen the entire world just by seeing those three cities. And in those three cities, they do cater a lot to American tourists. But if you're at an authentic Italian restaurant in Italy, you will never find spaghetti and meatballs together, right? They eat spaghetti and they eat meatballs, never together. Those are two things eaten separately there. You'll never find chicken parmesan. That's not really a thing. Eggplant parmesan, what? Yes. Chicken parmesan is not a thing.
That's a shocker as well.
Yeah, it's not a thing there. Eggplant parmesan is real, but chicken parmesan, an American creation.
So you're telling me like most of the things that I've thought are Italian, like including pepperoni pizza.
Yeah, that's not
that's
real
not
either.
There.
Yeah.
I'm limited if I go to Italy. Well, not really. Not really, because I enjoy pasta.
Do you enjoy seafood at all? You're not
yeah,
a seafood guy. Okay,
yeah.
So you're gonna find a lot of stuff there you didn't even imagine as far as like, you know, because especially if you go, you have to think Italy is a peninsula and there's water in a lot of places. So a lot of the restaurants you go to have because you don't think of seafood when you think Italian. You think of like red sauce and cheese and chicken,
right?
And veal maybe, which they do have a lot of veal
and
over there.
And pizza.
But there's also a lot of seafood in Italy. You don't necessarily associate that there. All right, so I do want to give you, when we come back, according to Dolphins Wire USA Today, safe jerseys to buy, safest Miami Dolphins jerseys to buy. Because you don't want to get burned, right? If you're going to invest $80, $100 in an NFL jersey, you want it to be a guy who performs and has some staying power with his team. The Alex Dono Show continues next here on QAM.
Radio.com.
If you want to call me, call me, call me. You don't have to worry about it, baby. You can wake me up in the dead of the night.
Yeah, Tito wanted to remind me that it's Luke Bryan's birthday today. That's who sings this song. I don't care about Luke Bryan. I don't care about country singer. You had me at Hasselhoff. It's also David Hasselhoff's birthday today.
Just go with more Denzel Hasselhoff for the rest of the
show. Yeah, just go with more Hasselhoff. There's got to be more Hasselhoff music. Yeah. I don't care about Luke Bryan. Yep. TV here, one of the two TVs in my studio is on ESPN. And I've noticed a lot in the last few weeks that whenever there's nothing really else going on, they always throw competitive cornhole on TV. I think I've seen more cornhole on television in the last month than I ever have in my entire life. And that includes tailgates, college parties. Like I've seen just casually flipping through the channels, or you leave ESPN on longer than you expect, and no, the next thing comes on the TV. You don't realize what's on. Cornhole on ESPN. They must have just gotten a TV deal recently because it's been all over the TV, cornhole.
Donna, you know my idea for this sport would be fantastically entertaining. Just give them each like a pitcher of beer or a tower of beer. And they have to drink at least like three pitchers before the game starts and then just let them at it.
Yeah, because you asked me during the break something that I'm pretty sure the answer to this is no. But you asked me if like it's legal to show people drinking alcohol on TV. And I don't see why it would be. But I think the reason why televised cornhole does not include drinking beer is because the people who play pro cornhole probably take it so seriously. Like, you and I, we treat it like a recreational activity, right? I've drank an entire case of beer. I'm at a tailgate party. Let me throw this beanbag through that hole. We're not professional cornholers. The professional cornholers, they think, okay, Mount Rushmore of sports. You've got soccer. You've got basketball. You've got football. And then you've got cornhole. Like, they probably take it so seriously, they would think that large amounts of alcohol would just only spoil the integrity of the game. Now, if they ever start showing like competitive beer pong with no beer on ESPN, that's when it's jump the shark.
That's man. When I sue.
You'd be really angry about that. All right, so this is from DolphinsWire.com. And yeah, a lot of people have been texting in, safe Dolphins jerseys to buy. Dan Marino throwback, Ricky Williams throwback, Larry Zonka, all this. Of course those are safe to buy. But that would be way too easy of a list to make. So what they've done at Dolphins Wire, that's USA Today's Dolphins page, is they're trying to rank safe jerseys to buy for players who are currently on the roster. A lot of young guys specifically, right? They're basically telling you which young guys they think are going to have staying power on this roster. I thought one of the best texts that we got was, the only safe Dolphins jersey to buy is the one with your name on the back of it. That's such a cheesy move, though. Like, you're better off buying a blank jersey than one with your name on the back of it. Especially if you're a grown man. I can remember, Tito, last year I was covering Dolphins training camp, and I see some dude, a fan, walking to his seat wearing a number 13 white Dolphins throwback. And I said, oh, he's got a merino on. Then I look closer, and it was a number 13 Mendez. That is so cheesy to put your last name, unless you're a kid. When I was a little kid, I had one of those. When I was a little kid, I had like a Canes jersey with my name on it. I'm 6-7 years old. Because when you're a kid, like, you like to feel like you're on the team, right? Like, oh, imagine if I played for the Canes or I played for the Dolphins.
The dream is still alive that you could eventually play for them at that point, right?
Right. Like, when I was 7 years old, there was a 50-50 chance I'd be a Hurricanes player. I mean, I either am or I'm not. Well, it turns out I'm not.
See, you're saying 7 years old. I realized I kind of peaked in the third grade, like, both athletically and mentally. You know,
really?
And everything just went downhill from there.
You're still at a third grade level.
No, yeah. I mean, you can make the argument, yes, but I was like the second tallest in my class. I was still fast, and then like just physically from there, my body did not progress the way I expected it to.
Yeah, I hit my growth spurt at like 5. Like until I don't know, maybe third grade, I was always the tallest kid in my class, right? And like, I'm not short. I'm 6 foot, but like 6 foot, that's maybe slightly above average for a man, right? Like if you tell somebody I'm 6 foot, they don't say you're tall. Like, they say, okay, yeah, that's about average, right? But I was always like a foot taller than everybody else in my class, first grade, second grade. And then in third grade, the rest of the class kind of caught up to me.
I'm 5'10", and I would kill for that extra inch you have. Just to be
2 inches, bro. Don't sell me short. 2 inches. But no, but like, you wouldn't consider somebody 6 foot. Maybe in like 1950, because it seems like the more vitamins and hormones they put in our meat, the taller we get over time. So maybe in like 1950, 6 foot was tall. But in 2018, like 6 foot is kind of average, right? This is the most random text we've ever gotten. My doggy whimpers in her sleep. I'd like some of that good stuff. All right, so Dolphins Wire. They say which jersey is left to purchase outside of veterans Ryan Tannehill or Cameron Wake? Here are the suggestions they run. A lot of young players, they think you should take flyers on these guys. First, Minkah Fitzpatrick. Typically, rookies are a massive gamble for any fan when talking about jerseys to buy, but Fitzpatrick could be a franchise player and the face of the Dolphins defense. He has the playmaking ability that fans can get excited about. I'm with you on that. You know that my expectation for Minkah Fitzpatrick is, I think within a couple of years, he is going to be the best player on that Dolphins defense, surpassing Rashad Jones even, and he's going to be a perennial Pro Bowl player. Second name they throw out there, Xavien Howard. Howard really turned it on last year, especially during the second half of the season. His understanding of how to defend different route concepts was on full display during Monday Night Football against New England. Howard has potential to be a lockdown corner for the Dolphins for years to come. Third, they say Kenny Stills. Wow. Now, right there, you hear the name Kenny Stills. Half of you say, yeah, I can get behind that. The other half say, he's a kneeler. He's a kneeler, Dono. I'm not investing money in a kneeler. Here's their explanation. The former Oklahoma receiver has made a name for himself on and off the field. Stills has shown leadership with the younger players, which I can say is 1,000% true, giving them advice and mentoring them, even though he's only 26 years old. Stills would be a jersey well worth purchasing. Kenny Stills is a leader in that locker room. I agree. Kenyon Drake. This should not be a surprise to see Drake on this list since he led the league in rushing during the last 5 weeks of the season. He has shown big playability against stingy run defenses, making him another young player for fans to get excited about. This one I'm not so sure about for a couple of reasons. Number one, are we really buying offensive linemen's jerseys? And number two, I still am concerned about this guy living up to his draft status. Laramie Tunsil, they say. This one I kind of call shenanigans on. Why am I going to buy an offensive lineman's jersey to begin with? entering his third year in the league. Tunsil is still young as he's entering his second year at left tackle. The former Ole Miss product has the talent to be an elite left tackle, and if he shows that ability this year, his jersey could be worth a buy. Like, I used to laugh when people would wear Jake Long jerseys. Like, bro, like, you couldn't find somebody a little bit more exciting than a left tackle. Like, really? I know he was a number one overall draft pick, but, like, you go to NFLShop.com, the best you can do is get me a 77 long. That's like buying a goalkeeper's jersey for your soccer team.
Maybe it was just the cheapest at the moment.
It must have been. Number 77 for $7. I got to pull the trigger on
like
that.
Like, what offensive lineman would ever warrant, like, a jersey being, I guess, like the Hall of Famers, but, like,
yeah, it's got to be, like, an Orlando Pace type. You got to really have somebody serious to invest in that. Raekwon McMillan. Unfortunately, the Dolphins did not get to see what McMillan could do last season as he suffered a season-ending ACL. During organized team activities in minicamp, McMillan picked up right where he left off prior to his injury as he looks to be the heart and soul of the defense. Plus, they add, fans have not had a linebacker jersey to buy since Zach Thomas. I don't know, though. I don't know if that's accurate because this is another polarizing player, but I've seen a few Kiko Alonso jerseys out there. Like, Kiko Alonso had a very good season 2 years ago, and Kiko, I think, does a great job in South Florida because he's fluent in Spanish. And he does. Kiko, when I'm around Kiko, I wish I was fluent in Spanish because he does. The interviews that he does in Spanish are 100 times better than the interviews he does in English. And it's not because of a language barrier. Kiko Alonso is completely fluent in English as he is in Spanish, but he just prefers doing interviews in Spanish. I think he finds that unique. For a guy who used to play in Buffalo where zero Spanish is spoken, or Philadelphia where a little bit of Spanish is spoken, I'm sure, but nothing compared to Miami, I think he finds it unique and refreshing to do interviews in Miami in Spanish. And then when some schlub like me approaches him to speak English, I don't think he wants to give me the time of day. He prefers doing interviews in Spanish, which I think plays very well to South Florida.
Should preface it, be like, hola, Kiko, and then just proceed to ask him questions in English.
Just trick him or, like, start asking him questions in Italian and see how long it takes him to notice. Just got to sneak that
throw
in there.
Throw him off with the Italian because then it's like, oh, you don't know this? So I thought you would know this.
I could, like, sneak in there. I'll open in Spanish with, hola, Kiko, ¿dónde está la biblioteca? And then just see where things go from there. I got to trick him that way. So, and let me add one to that list, by the way. I know that they primarily went with young players on jerseys to invest in. But if I were to purchase a Dolphins jersey this season, if I were to do that, I can tell you without a second hesitation, the jersey I would buy, Frank Gore. I don't care. He's only going to be here for a year. It's probably his final year in the NFL. This is his swan song. This is the punctuation to his career. But for me, the Coral Gables kid turned Miami Hurricane standout, who after a long, impressive NFL career, to still be a serviceable running back at 35 years old is impressive in itself. For the South Florida kid and the former Miami Hurricane to come home and finish his career a Miami Dolphin, the team he grew up rooting for and dreaming to play for, to even get 1 year out of Frank Gore as a Dolphin, that's the jersey I would invest in. Not Tannehill, not even Cam Wake, not Rashad Jones, certainly not Laremy Tunsil. If I were going to invest in a Miami Dolphins jersey, I would be all in with a Frank Gore. That's the guy I want to invest in.
I feel like Frank Gore could have a season where he doesn't touch the football once for us.
And he's still a legend.
It would still be a fantastic signing by the Dolphins.
So that kind of makes him the Udonis Haslam of the Dolphins.
I'm fine with that.
Right? Where it's like, Udonis Haslam, that's still a safe investment in a Heat jersey. Right? UD40?
1,000%.
That is a Heat safe. Lifer. Like, if I were to buy a Heat jersey right now, I would buy a Udonis Haslam. I'm not buying a Whiteside. I'm not buying a Winslow. I'd think about a Dragic, but I'm not buying a Dragic. I've already got a Wade jersey from years back. I don't need that. I would totally buy a Udonis Haslam jersey the same way, even if he doesn't touch the football once, I would invest in a Frank Gore jersey for the Dolphins. I think that's the guy that I would go with over any of these young guys, right? I don't think Minkah Fitzpatrick or Xavien Howard or Kenny Stills or Kenyon Drake or bad jersey investments. I think these are players that are going to become the cornerstones of this Dolphins franchise for years to come. For better or for worse, these will be your cornerstones. So probably safe jersey investments. But even though he's only here, I think, for a year, I would invest in a Frank Gore. Wow, Texter already trying to ruin this for me. Gore's playing for the Dolphins to grab that final paycheck, Dono. And God bless him. Go get that money, Frank.
That guy's been texting coleslaw the entire show.
Coleslaw.
Can we address how Mark Hockman capes up for coleslaw like people cape up for Ryan Tannehill? Like, you it's know, fair to say that.
I get into the studio here at about 5:55 p.m., and I log on to the station text machine. And the last text that Hawk got before he got off the air was, somebody wrote in, "Every time I turn on your show, you're talking about coleslaw. You have a weird fetish for coleslaw." That's so true. Dog days of summer, I get it, right? Nobody here cares about the MLB All-Star game. There's no football for another 9 days when training camp starts for the Dolphins. The World Cup is over. A lot of you cared about the World Cup. A lot of you didn't care about the World Cup. Dog days of summer in sports radio with NBA free agency winding down and the Heat signing nobody of note except for re-signing Wayne Ellington. There's not a whole lot out there to talk about for our standards. But you do like a week and a half of coleslaw shows. That's the only show that can do that, right? Like, I'm not even criticizing. I appreciate the hustle. Like, I appreciate the fact that Hockman is creative enough. He can get a week and a half mileage out of coleslaw talk. I certainly can't do that. I can get an hour at best out of coleslaw, right? Big O can get an hour at best out of coleslaw. Joe Rose, I don't think, can get more of an hour out of coleslaw talk. Yet Hockman can get a week and a half mileage out of talking coleslaw. I respect the hustle, right? We all have our wheelhouse. His wheelhouse is random. 9 o'clock hour coming up here on QAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.